Pacifico, Bill Henry.
Ted's of Beverly Hills, there's never a bad day or a bad time to visit Ted's of Beverly Hills. The thick, juicy New York cut and the Kansas City on the grill right now.
Here
Damn it. I said Kansas City. Instead, I wanted to say Kansas City Steak. Anyway, forgive me, ladies and gentlemen. I shouldn't. Forgive my language.
You know, Ted, it's radio. It's live. You know.
Well, I know. That's what they tell me. But I don't like sounding as if I don't have a professional, because the last time I was on your program, I had told you and I told your listeners, Phil, that my goal is to eventually segue from being a restaurant owner, and I would love to be able to do a sports show, some kind of a sports presentation, that I think a lot of the people out there listening would enjoy. And to that end, of course, what I've asked is, and I've asked this of David Holden, I've asked this of you, and I ask it of your listeners, I would really like it if people would treat me as a professional, as if I've been in the business for a long time.
All right, now, I'm not exactly sure how that's done.
Yes, you do know how it's done, Phil, and I'd appreciate it very much. I don't really want to talk it to death. I don't want to turn it into something that we're kicking around to make it obvious that I'm asking a favor here, but if I'm going to go into broadcasting, I'd like you to just pretend like, and here's Ted Bell, and he knows what he's doing. And Margaret, you're there. Is Margaret there?
Yes, Ted, I think what you're asking is reasonable. I also know that, Phil, if you say Kansas City State and you sound like you're not professional.
Yeah, you say Kansas City.
Whoa! I don't want to talk. I don't want to talk to Dickman. I've told you. I think the email. I think it's been very clear.
If you don't mind, Bud.
You said Kansas City.
I know I said Kansas City. Okay.
I believe making an issue out of that right out of the gate here. You misspoke and you said Kansas City instead of Kansas City. I think that's a problem. Okay.
It's a problem because I talk as if my tongue is too large, and I don't know what the affliction is that some of these people have. Some of them, yes, are children where the tongue is large and purple, but it sounds as if I had that as a kid and it wasn't treated. And
no, it doesn't, and it's far too involved. Not only it's insensitive to anyone that may be suffering from a malady like that, but it's far, far, far too involved. A critique of saying Kansas City. It was a slip of the tongue, if ever there was a slip of the tongue. And let's just move on, if you don't mind.
Fine. All I'm trying to say to you, though, is that it is it's a concern of mine. Anyway, Phil, thank you very much for having me on your program. I really appreciate it. And I was going to talk about something, and now I completely forgot what it was. I was going to be on your program talking about something that had occurred to me, and I think
Well, I don't know what it was. Did he email it?
No, hold on. We run into this problem every time we have you on the air.
What are you trying to say?
What I'm trying to say is I get you on the air, you make a call to Bud, you want to come on the air, and you forget what it is that you wanted to say.
Because I get a thought, and Kansas City became a very important thing to get off of my back is all I'm trying to say. I'm not going to go into an out. I just said Kansas City.
It doesn't matter. It's not that big of a thing.
Well, Mr. Henry, that's what you say. You're a professional.
Yeah, it's fair. Well, so am I. See, this is what I'm talking about.
All right. So far, within 5 minutes, we're being bugged by you.
Am I bugging you? Well, excuse me, Phil. I can pull my advertising, too. I can pull my advertising, okay, if I'm bugging you. As a matter of fact, you know what? The hell with this.
Dead air.
I know it's dead air. I know it's dead air.
Well, you're not supposed to have that.
I'll do anything I want. I can do anything I want. I can have dead air. I can get up and walk off the show. What do you think of that?
I wouldn't like that.
No, of course you wouldn't like that. Of course you wouldn't like that. If I were you, I wouldn't like that. But so I won't get up and walk off the show. I won't do what that man there just did.
Now, Phil, he's a sponsor.
I don't care if he's a sponsor. I don't care if he's a sponsor. He hung up on me because He comes on this show, gets sidetracked talking about Kansas City because he didn't say the word right, and he wants to be treated like a professional, and he doesn't want anybody pointing out his mistakes, but he spends 5 minutes concentrating on a mistake that he made, and then he forgets why he came on the show. How is that possible?
Because he calls up, and he said, I want to talk about something, and I said, well, what is it? He goes, it's none of your business.
Yeah, that's what he says.
Well, from now on, Bud, if he ever calls and he says, it's none of your business, you tell him that Mr. Henry says that I can't have you on the show.
I already said that.
No, you haven't, man. Don't tell me that.
Well,
you tell him in the future if he wants to come on a show, he has to know what it is he's going to talk, and he has to tell you.
Be better if you told him.
You should tell him, because if Bud tells him, he just dismisses it with a wave of the hand. And he asks Bud, you know, questions like, you know, are you sure you're not really developmentally disabled and things like that.
Yeah, tell him all it is the nerve damage on account of the motorcycle.
Ted is one of the most insensitive swine, and other times he's a very nice guy and a very generous guy, but for this jackass to come on here and demand airtime and demand that he be put on the air, and then he forgets what it is he wants to talk about and hangs up.
Well, he hung up because you were a little rude.
No, I was not a little rude. You're going to turn this into that bar scene in Goodfellas.
Yeah, I remember when the guy said, no, you're a little out of line yourself, a little out.
Yeah, and he goes, go home and get your shine box.
Well, what, wait, are you saying that to me?
No, that's what it said in Goodfellas.
All right.
Boy, look at you.
Yeah, what's up with you?
Are you telling me to go home and get my shine box?
No, no one's saying that to you.
Good. Margaret, I don't understand. I'm just going to do my nails, all right? I'll ask again because you guys want to belabor the point. Did you just say to me to go home and get my shine box?
No.
Well, what's the problem?
What's the problem? Boy, do you love it or don't you? What did that guy do in Goodfellas when he told Tommy to go get his shine box?
He got his ass beat.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Margaret, go home and get your shine box, which is not what I'm asking you to do, was a reference to the fact that that character used to shine shoes, and now he's a big shot on the verge of being made. He's a gangster, and he wants to be treated with respect. But the guy that's saying that to him is a made man.
So?
So the made man in that culture has the right to insult. And you can't really do much about it other than just sort of take it. And Tommy is a hothead, and he turns around, and he attacks, and he kills the guy. So he's done two things. He's attacked the guy, which is already against the rules, and then he's killed him, which is basically a death sentence. Because when the mafia guys that dude is associated with find this guy, Tommy, they will kill him.
Well, I don't know any of that. I just don't ask me to go home and get my shine box.
Do you know what that means?
Yes.
Did you used to shine shoes?
Yes.
Where?
None of your beeswax.
So you shine shoes?
Yes, I did.
Did you shine shoes and tap dance?
Yes, I did.
Oh, okay, I know that.
Well, I never told you.
Wait. Now I gotta know. Where did you shine shoes?
It's none of your business. I don't know what.
I got it. Where did you shine shoes and tap dance?
Union Station.
The train station downtown?
Yes.
How old were you?
I was 7 or 8. My mother took me down there to Union Station, put me in the little pigtails, because Shirley Temple was, or had been, the rage.
And she made you tap dance?
She made me tap dance in blackface.
Yeah, I heard that. Yeah, remember you told me that.
I don't remember telling anyone that.
Yeah, you did.
So let me get this right.
So that we can belabor the point?
Yeah. So we can belabor the point. Your mother made you go down to Union Station and tap dance and shine shoes in blackface.
Yes.
Your mother must have been sadistic.
My mother was, she was interesting. She really was. And did I grow up with a deep fondness for my mother? No. Did I like my mother occasionally? No. Would I have rathered to have pushed my mother out onto those railroad tracks? Yes.
Good God, death, boy.
Well, Bud, you didn't grow up that way.
Yeah, well.
You wanted to kill your mother.
Wouldn't you if your mother put you in blackface and pigtails and made you tap dance? and shine shoes.
And why did she do this?
She thought talent scouts would spot me or something. I don't know.
Why the blackface?
She said to my father that they already got a white one, but they don't have a black one, and Margaret...
A white what?
Shirley Temple.
So your mother was going to make it...
My mother thought she could get away with putting me in some shoe polish.
And pass you off as a little black girl.
Yes.
Your mother was also an idiot.
Bingo.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that, Ms. Gray, but I remember you told that story. I thought you were kidding.
No, not kidding. And there's a lot more to it.
Well, I don't even know if I want to know. We'll be right back here. A gummy bear breast implant. Have you heard about this? It's true. Gummy bear breast implants approved by the FDA. Joy Behar is leaving The View. I don't hear any problems with that. I mean, I thought she was kind of entertaining. We still have that processed meat story. Kelly Osbourne has a seizure on the set of Fashion Police and more. It's the world and Margaret and her mother dressing her up in pigtails and making her tap dance in blackface. It's just another show, another night here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch.
The problem the Phil is, Hendry if show. I tell the whole story, I don't know if I can...
I'd like to hear the story.
Yeah, I'm going to...
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and I am told that Ted Bell has calmed down, and he may be back with us in the next quarter hour. Is that right, bud?
Yeah, Mr. Bell remembered what he wanted to say.
What did he want to say?
He wanted to talk about a meat.
He wanted to talk about meat, the processed meat story?
I believe so. I'll have to ask him. I do have him on hold. If I have your permission, well, I'd certainly just pick a phone up and ask.
Go right ahead.
Mr. Bell? Yeah, Bud Dickman. First of all, yeah, no, hold on. I don't like the way you talk to me.
You give, ask him the question. We don't have time to overhear you having a conference call with a guy.
No. Did you want to talk about meat? Did you want to talk about meat?
Oh, my God, man. I'm on the air, bud.
I know. Did you want, Mr. Henry's on the air. What? Meat. Did you want to talk about your meat? Yeah, you want to talk about your meat. Okay, what about it? But Mr. Hendry said you can't go on until you tell me and everything.
Will you hurry up, man? Because I'm on the air. There's people listening, okay?
Right. We're on the air right now. No, you're not, but we are. You're not, but we are. We are, but you're not.
Give me the phone. Hey, Ted, Phil, what do you want to talk about? Your meat, okay? About the story? About how your meat,
Phil.
What?
It sounds to the listener like you're talking about Ted's...
Okay, Ted, we'll have you on at the bottom of the hour. Yes, we're going to talk about your meat. Yes, we're going to talk about how your meat is tenderized. Will you just... I'm on the air. People are listening to this one side, and it sounds weird.
Would you get off the phone with him?
Yes, Ted, we're going to talk about how your meat is tenderized, yes. And you handle it...
Yeah, okay, Mr. Bell. So, all right, bottom of the hour... How you handled your meat?
Get the phone. Mr. Bell.
My God, get control over this show, Phil, before I put blackface on and I get a butcher knife. And if you think Baby J...
You know something? It won't shock me, man. The way this show goes, it won't shock me at all. If you get into blackface some night with a freaking... And I don't mean any offense by this, folks, but this show is just out of control, okay?
Well, I didn't do it.
You didn't do what? You're going to get a butcher knife and come after me with shoe polish on your face?
Yes.
Sounds racist, Mr. Henry.
I know it does, and I apologize.
After I come back from the hairdresser, because I'm going to get the hair permed, the face blackened, the knife sharpened, and only the little Buster Brown patent leathers. You know those, right?
I've seen them, yeah.
So I'll have to order them.
All right, so thank you. Now I know what you'll be wearing.
When I commit homicide, yes. And you can laugh if you want, Phil, but this is how frustrated I get. That I get into the specifics of what I'm going to wear when I come in here and essentially slaughter every Christian soul.
Well, I'll tell you.
There's a lot of dead air.
You'll get out of here, dead air. A new breast implant, just approved by the FDA, is offering women another alternative when considering breast augmentation.
Hey!
Cut.
It's been nicknamed the gummy bear implant because, like the candy, it's soft, but it holds its shape. And that's why we had the headline, gummy bear breast implant, because it sounds really great. Thank you, by the way, Jane Crutchfield
Tombstone.
Tombstone, Arizona, for sending us this. Cosmetic surgeon Dr. Daniel Shapiro explained to Kaylee O'Kelly, and she's on Channel 91's Kaylee and her boob jobs, what makes it so different from silicone implants.
Well, they're fantastic, but there are limitations to them.
He says, referring to silicone implants.
But there are not that many shapes for a particular size of implant. Believe you me, I've seen a lot of them.
Silicone implants are also teardrop shaped, and if they're not put in right, the only tears you'll see, yeah, thank you.
From the eyes of the plastic surgeon.
No, from the ladies, too.
No, the ladies will be in blackface with the knives and you...
Oh, okay, I get the rest.
Yes.
All right. Silicone implants are also teardrop shaped. No, teardrop shaped, and the top of the shape can lose volume when the woman stands up. Yeah, I'll bet it does.
Hey!
Take it easy. They also don't maintain their shape well. The gummy bear implant holds their shape. If you were to cut this with the knife, you'd have two separate halves and they'd be soft, but they'd hold the shape, said Dr. Shapiro, grinning in his garage where he makes them. The new...
Let me see that.
Oh. Take that from me.
I said, let me see it.
Give me that back.
Hey! Hey!
Nice one.
Well, you're the one...
No, I didn't do anything. Thanks a lot, Margaret.
You didn't give me...
Why do I gotta give it to you?
Because you said he made them in his garage, and I think you're a liar.
Well, you know something. Yes, I was lying. I was kidding.
But that's all you had to say.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with you guys tonight, man. Why don't you back me up, okay? And don't ever grab news copy out of my... Excuse me, folks. Don't ever grab news copy out of my hand when I'm reading it.
Yeah, but you're saying about it in a garage.
Who cares and what business is it of yours?
You're talking about a plastic surgeon making breast implants in his garage. Do you think women want to know about something like that? Yes.
Well, Margaret, maybe I was getting ready to say I'm kidding.
You say you're kidding about a... You know, I'm on edge tonight, and you want to know why? Because I started my period last night.
You what?
She's doing a whisper thing.
I know. What?
I started my period.
You started your period?
Oh, for God.
Well, that's what... Did she say that?
Yeah, that's what she said.
I'm going to the toilet.
Well, then, Margaret, you know, you can take a night off if you want.
No chance. No chance for romance. No way, no way. I'm not leaving this studio with you... Three talking behind my back. No.
Well, there you go.
What'd she say? She started her period?
Will you shut up? Yes, okay. She has been a little bit on edge here tonight. So anyway, these breast implants, go get one. They're available at they're a gummy bear. These are the things that interest people, so.
Now, you talk about a breast implant, same thing a man take a Viagra.
A breast implant is the same thing as a man taking Viagra? How do you figure that?
Well, if you think about it,
well, I don't know. I mean, I don't even think that this in the same ballpark. Why would you say that? Because why? Because they are...
Well, they're both cosmetic, you know.
They're both cosmetic. Not quite, no. Viagra is something that a guy takes so that it's not cosmetic. Viagra is almost like it's an extra added push or something, you know. Whereas a breast implant is cosmetic because it's a... I don't know.
Yeah, I think it is.
Well, so what? So who cares?
Well, I think a lot of women, you know, they're going to give a guy a hard time. Does he take Viagra? Say, well, you got fake boob.
Yeah, or the other way around.
Whatever, man. Who's going to give a guy a hard time? Well, who's going to make it tough for a guy if he's taking Viagra? You know, especially his wife or something. Was he going to turn around and say, well, you're making fun of me. You got fake boobs?
Yeah, I would.
Well, what world do you guys live in, man, where people are giving each other that kind of crap, okay?
I'm just anticipating if my wife had fake one and if the day ever came that I got to have Viagra, I'd say to her, well, guess what? I'm taking a Viagra, but you got two fakes.
Yeah.
You agree?
Yeah.
That's great. Okay, well, now we know how to win that argument if there ever was, you know, there's an argument like that. Wow. We'll be right back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Don't forget our website is philhenryshow.com. Ted Bell is coming up next with this clear link between processed meat and health problems. Next on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Okay, Ted, thanks for coming back on the program. We appreciate you being with us. Ted Bell is here, and I understand that you were able to figure out what you wanted to what you wanted to say.
Well, let's see. That I knew what I you know, again, well.
Okay, did I make another mistake?
Oh, just the fact that you're now referencing the fact that I didn't know what I wanted to do. Can we move ahead?
Yeah, let's look forward, you know.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
I'm for that.
All right, we'll look forward. Ted Bell is with us, and...
Well, let's not... this is not a democracy here. Let me make the decision.
Yes, go ahead.
All right, I say we look forward and... okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
All right, Ted Bell is with us, and he is talking about the clear link between processed meat and health problems. And, Ted, it's great to have you on the program. Now... We were discussing this very, very briefly at the beginning of the show, the health situation with meat. You being in the steakhouse business...
Yeah, well, first of all, Phil, there is no health situation with meat. And unless, of course, you're one of these guys that has the... You know what. But the health... and I got to tighten that up a little bit. Are we on tape?
I'm sorry?
This is being recorded, right?
Well, yes, Ted, it's being recorded.
Okay, good. So we can tighten this up.
No, but we're live. We're live. Every show is recorded.
Oh. Then I'm going to... All right. Darn it. Go.
Okay, so anyway, Ted, the link between processed meat and health problems?
Right. The link between your meat and health problems, hint, hint, it's not just you. See, what I'm trying to do is throw some jokes in.
Look, Ted, this is not going to work.
You're not pleased.
This is not going to work if you think you're doing a comedy routine, man. I thought I was interviewing you on processed meat and health problems.
And I wanted to throw in some jokes. And I thought it was pre-recorded. And I wasn't told that because guess what I was told? I was told that I have to, you know, tell Dickman what I want to talk about, or Mr. Henry said that I don't get to go on the air. And so was I allowed to ask any questions? No.
But look, Ted, every time you've been on the show, it's been live. Why am I having to yell at everybody tonight?
I don't know, but I think it's an absolute tune-out.
Yeah, well, okay. Well, that's on you, not me. I said to Dickman that I wanted to talk about meat, and I was going to do some jokes.
Yeah, we heard all of that.
What do you mean you heard all of it?
We heard Bud's side of it. We heard the whole, yeah, you're going to talk about, and the whole thing was juvenile, and that's fine. Now that we're on the air and we're live, what I'd like to do is talk what happened to him.
Bell? Hung up.
I'm not having him on this show any longer.
Well, Phil, you've said that 60 times.
I'm telling you right now, I'm not having him on the show any longer. Moving on, a new international study reveals a direct link between eating processed meat, such as sausages, ham, and bacon, and an alarming increase in... What is that, Bud?
That was him. The line's not dead. Mr. Bell? Mr. Bell.
Just keep the volume down, okay?
The volume is down.
Don't start giving me this bull crap now.
Man, every time... What are you trying to tell me, that there's another magic man here on the line?
I'm just telling you, the volume's down.
Where's the slider on that?
Right here.
Keep it there at zero, okay?
Right.
The extensive study followed 500,000 people for up to 13 years and found a solid link between the extra fat and salt in processed meat and early death.
Yes, sir.
Right. Fresh New Zealand-grown grass-fed meat is high in nutrients, but bacon, salami, ham, and sausage is high in sodium and fat. Well, no kidding. Well, that's a real shock.
Well, are you serious?
No, I'm not serious. I'm joking. Are you trying to tell me, man, that the average person has to be told that bacon, salami, ham, and sausage are high in sodium and fat, but something called fresh New Zealand-grown grass-fed meat is high in nutrients? I mean, that just sounds healthy. That's like if somebody were to say to me, hey, Phil, we have fresh-cut grown cauliflower and water, or you can have a slab of bacon and a glass of oil. Which would you think has less fat in it, bud?
Well, I would say the cauliflower.
There you go. Exactly. We got a study now to tell us about this stuff.
But, Phil, you don't understand. Fresh. Now, we're not talking about something that's days old. Fresh New Zealand grass-fed beef. That means that you almost don't want to slaughter it. You want to look at it and hope you can eat it that way. That's how marvelous it is. And I absolutely commend our farmers, our ranchers, the New Zealand ranchers, just the men who I'm excited about. It's a new day in meat. And I say that as a lady and not to set up any crude juvenile jokes, you know.
I understand.
I'm not going to say anything.
Well, that's what you say. So it's a new day in meat, and the New Zealanders and the Australians, whoever it is that raises these cows as if they're pets, so that they will, and I know it sounds very cruel, but what we're hoping for is that there is a new day in ranching, that's all.
Well, this new day in ranching is what?
The new day in ranching, Phil, is that you raise the cow as if it is a pet.
And then slaughter it.
And then slaughter it.
Are you listening to yourself?
No, are you listening to yourself, Margaret? Because what you're telling me is, in order for us to eat healthy beef, in order for us to eat healthy meat, we have to raise the animal as if it's a pet.
As if it's your own child, yes.
As if it's my own child, and then I take it out and kill it.
If you want to look at it that way, what you're doing is you're sending it on.
I'm sending it on to what?
Phil, don't talk to me like that.
Margaret, we're having a healthy debate. I'm sending it on to what?
What the people in New Zealand are treating, what the people in New Zealand are teaching us, and those of you that are listening out there, please hear me out. Fresh, grass-fed, rainwater-fed, and only grass and rainwater-fed beef and veal, calves they're allowed to roam free, they are allowed to walk through homes. In other words...
They're allowed to walk through homes. Yeah, go ahead.
You know, and I can see the sarcasm, Phil.
Margaret, I'm going to, you know, go ahead.
That these animals wind up tasting better, and they also are much, much better for the health of the individual. This is those of us who are on the line between veganism, vegetarianism, vegetableism, and meatism, or if you will, carnivorism. This is what we have been hoping for, and I thank God. I really do. I just thank God.
Ms. Gray, I want to ask you a question.
Yes, Robert.
Are you saying that for me to be healthy, I've got to raise up a cow, from the time it's born?
Or adopt it, yes.
Or adopt it, and sleeps in my bed?
Yes, it can. It is preferable.
Sleeps in my bed.
And this is, I guess you're going to laugh at this, but they have found... I'm sorry, it's very emotional.
Why are you emotional about this?
Because, Phil, it is a new day in the battle between the meatist and the vegetabilism.
Go ahead.
I'm very emotional. They have found that if the animal, the cow, can not often but wear some of your clothing, that's all. Don't look at me like I'm crazy, Phil.
Ms. Gray, you can't be serious of everything you said.
Look, even Bud finds this ridiculous.
Do you find it ridiculous, Bud, that we can wipe out heart disease within one generation? Is that ridiculous?
No.
So we wipe out heart disease within one generation by having cows sleep in our beds with us.
Damn you to hell, Henry. I'm trying to be serious.
If you're trying to be serious with me about cows and...
No, don't turn this into one of your comedy routine bits or whatever you say.
It's called like a comedy routine.
Don't turn it into a comedy routine. I'm saying, if we can blur the line further between the meatist elite and the vegetable and the vegetabilist.
Are these two things?
Yes, they are two things.
Okay, what's the difference between the vegetable and the vegetabilist?
The vegetable is the individual that is a vegetabilist or a vegan and is really not aware of anything that they do. They're just thin and they wander places. These are your, if you will, these are your you know, neo-hippies, these types. The vegetabilist is, that's me and my friends and what we're doing and what I'm all about.
And you're all about raising cows to sleep in your bed and wear your clothing.
You know something? I really hope someone runs up to the gas tank on your Jaguar while you're in it and throws in a lit match.
What a horrible thing to say.
You know that I'm on my period.
Yes. We'll be right back, folks. 877-877-876-74. That's a terrible thing to say, Margaret.
You know I'm on my period.
It's on her period, Mr. Henry.
I understand that. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. With us from the Cloverdale Observatory is our good friend Dr. Ron Tarner, and I think we've got Ted Bell's line open there, is our good friend Dr. Ron Tarner. And Dr. Tarner is with... What happened to Ted Bell, by the way?
I don't know. I think he hung up again.
He did hang up again. Oh, that's right. I'm not having him back on the show. Has he called back?
A couple times, yeah.
I don't want him on the show, but I don't want to hear any excuses. If I hear him back on this show, he'll be off again and you'll be fired.
I told him.
You know the line he rings in on, right?
Yeah, that one there.
Don't pick it up. We have on the line with us here Dr. Ron Tarner. Dr. Tarner, how you doing?
Well, it's Ted Bell. Look, all I want...
What did I just get done telling you?
I thought you said that line.
Yeah, I did.
He called on that line.
Do you know what he sounds like?
Yeah.
Then any line he calls in on. Where is Dr. Tarner? Never mind. I'll find him. Unbelievable, man. Hi, Dr. Tarner?
No, it's Ted Bell.
All right, what line is this? Line 3. Hey, Dr. Tarner, how you doing?
Ted Bell here.
I don't know. Ted?
I'm not talking to you tonight. You better hang up the phone, or I'm going to call the phone company and say that you're cranking my show, okay? Yes, you, Ted Bell. Dr. Ron Tarner joins us from Mountain Meadow Observatory to talk a little bit about health and nutrition, and I hope this is you, Dr. Tarner.
Well, it is. It's Dr. Ron Tarner. I'm sorry to hear that you're having a very difficult night tonight, but it's... Wonderful to be on your program.
Well, we don't have you on enough, Dr. Tarner, I'll tell you that much. And while you are a man of the stars, of the heavenly bodies, of astrophysics, you're also a man who's You are a doctor with a medical degree, and you have some pretty definite opinions about the eating of meat, of vegetables. You know, Margaret was here, and now she got a little upset with us.
You know, Phil, I don't blame you, and I don't blame Margaret. I know that she's going through a little. She's having her. I guess she's advertising to the world. She's having her time of the month, isn't she?
Well, a little bit here.
Dr. Tarter, I'm sorry. I did not mean to do that, and it's very nice to speak to you again.
Margaret, it's great, and I'm sorry that you're not feeling well.
Thank you very much.
But I think Phil and the crew there may have a little bit of you. You should give them a little bit of slack, because I think what you're talking about, Margaret, while it is certainly desirable for us to eat, only beef, any real meat that is processed, and when I say processed, I don't mean processed in a factory or processed in a slaughterhouse, but is naturally processed. And what we mean by that is that the animal is fed only the very healthiest, and I don't mean the best, but the healthiest food. And in this case, Phil, for a steer or a calf or a cow to be fed good, thick, lush grass, whether it is the kind of grass that you find in the prairie or the highlands here in the United States or in New Zealand or elsewhere, and then, of course, no additives, no antibiotics, you have a very healthy animal, and obviously the food, the steak, the meat byproduct is going to be that much better for you.
Now, what about fat content? Because this is what I'm concerned with, you know. I don't want to be fat, and I'm watching my diet, and I'm watching my weight, and for me, it's not the biggest deal in the world yet to be worried about antibiotics, you know, and all of that stuff.
Well, that is, unfortunately, for you to want to eat the kind of meat that is going to be low in calorie and low in fat, then you most likely are going to want to have the traditional kind of meat, and that is from a steer that is processed with hundreds of other steers in a slaughterhouse where they are stunned or rendered using an axe or a chainsaw or the butt of a rifle.
Wait, hold on for a minute.
See, I've been trying to tell him this, Dr. Tarter.
Well, it's not as bad as you as I'm making it sound, Phil.
No, wait, hold on for a minute. If I want to eat steak that is low in fat,
that is correct.
That I have to eat steak that is from a cow,
preferably from a cow that has been rendered. That's the word that we use for any animal that is essentially killed. A cow that's been rendered with the butt of a rifle. Or oftentimes just a baseball bat or a pool cue. In other words,
Wait, what do you mean a baseball bat or a pool cue?
Don't you know about that? That's what the best way to do it now.
Yes, I've tried to tell him this, Dr. Tarter. The way to achieve the kind of fat-free beef that you're talking about, the animal has to be rendered or stunned or killed in a manner that is very, very much like how you would meet your end at a pool hall or in an alley fight.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that we've been fighting against.
And how I would meet my end in an alley or a pool hall.
And that's why we've been fighting against it, Phil. We're on your side. We're on your side, and we're on the side of steer. And
so you're on my side and the side of steer. I'm having a hard time.
Are you crying?
He's either crying or stifling a laugh, and I swear to God, Phil, if it's a laugh, if it's the latter.
No, I'm actually just in a state of I'm nonplussed, you know.
What's that mean?
It means that like plus signs.
No, it means I'm confused. Okay, what I'm saying is this.
Phil, why don't you let the doctor do the talking instead of you go? What I'm saying is this. That's what you do all the time.
This show, Miss Gray.
I understand that, but Phil, you're always jumping in with, well, let me ask a question. Let people talk and say what they want to say, and then you may ask your questions.
I think that's wise, Phil.
Go ahead.
So what I'm saying is, if you want the kind of fat-free meat, the fat-free, low-cal meat that so many of us do enjoy, Phil, and would like to have on our plate at night, especially as we get... we're getting through these winter months, and it's going to be spring pretty soon, but it's still going to be cold enough to have some of that good stick-to-your-rib stew.
I love to make that for Frank.
Yes, it's delicious. And if you want that good quality beef, you want a beef that has been tenderly rendered, a beef that has been tenderly put down, that has been treated with some level of decency and respect. And then you're going to have great stewing beef. Now, if you're on a diet kick like Mr. Henry is here, and okay, you want to, your ego is more important than the suffering of an animal.
Look, I didn't say that.
Phil, would you please shut your hole and let him finish?
Go ahead.
Thank you very much, Margaret. Yeah, Phil, just so if you're on some ego trip that you want to look real good when you're pirouetting in front of a mirror without your clothes on, that's great, and congratulations. That means that the animal essentially will have to go through a mugging, a beating, kicked in the you-know-what, and left to die in the street.
No, so is that a pretty picture or what?
Yeah, that's okay. We'll be right back. The Phil Hendry Show.
What don't you get?
I don't think you're telling me the truth.
The hell I'm not. You can check with me.
Phil Hendry.